you don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey fuckers, what up? It's Christina Hutchinson.
And Corinne Fisher. You're about to listen to a clip from Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut-shaming podcast with special guest Trixie Mattel.
If you want to hear more of our interview and more from the minds of Trevor Noah, Lena Dunham, Roxanne Gay, go on over to luminarypodcasts.com where you can get a subscription for as little as $2.99 a month.
Yes. Do you do like a mental prep to become Trixie, or is it now kind of just something that you can switch on or off like a light bulb?
I'm one of those theater people where like when I was in college and I had to play an old character, I couldn't really figure it out until I had gray in my hair and old man shoes on. And then I was like, okay. Oh, now I can like feel my bones creaking.
Yeah, you morphed.
So for me, for drag, like once I look like that and I have earrings and perfume and lashes and wigs, I'm like, I don't have to like, it just shifts automatically.
Yeah. Do you put perfume on only even if you're just doing a video for you?
Every day, all the
yeah.
time.
I put
perfume on for videos. Right now I've been using Chanel Chance. I've been on this kick where I just order perfumes blindly from the internet.
Ooh, wow, that's
and
risky.
Then I'm just like, that's my smell, I guess, whatever it smells like. Like, I've never been into florals really, but Chanel Chance is super floral. I'm like, oh, I like it.
Yeah, I've been getting sets of roll-ons. So I do like a set, like a different set all the time. And I put them like all around my apartment. So
yeah, I love perfumes. And, I just, for me, I like to really feel it. And even if I'm in my house talking to my camera alone, I need perfume, nails, you know, the full thing.
Yeah, yeah. What, are you in a relationship?
Yeah, I have a boyfriend. We've been together 4 years.
Ooh.
How'd you guys meet?
We met on Tinder. This is not relatable content. He was my third Tinder date.
You what?
He was my third Tinder date.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's great.
I don't tell anybody anymore
because they're like, I'm on a million. I've been on a million. So fuck you.
But I mean, whatever. I'm not on any. I haven't been on any because I haven't had sex in 8 months. So I'm, you know, living vicariously through others. Yeah, I'm doing me. And I'm like, I like this a lot. So your third Tinder date, what was it? Sparks right away? I feel like when you date somebody for a long time, historically, you like, no.
I'm a serial LTR person. I spent my 20s with boyfriends. Every relationship I've been in is always like at least 2 years. It's like,
yeah.
Either I'm really easy to please, or I just don't have a rubric. So I
or
go
you're into, fun.
Maybe. I go into things just trying to like, I could connect with anyone. Who knows? Like, keep an open mind. But I remember we went to the Roger Room in Los Angeles and I met him there and I walked in and I sat down and I don't know what it is. That is that thing where every time you look at each other, every time your eyes meet, you both kind of smile, even though you're not, there's not a joke.
Yeah.
It was just like that kind of like,
it's a force.
In like 10 minutes in, he got up to go to the bathroom. Cause I think I was running late and he was waiting a while. He got up to go to the bathroom. And the same thing happened to me that always happens. I go, this is going to be my boyfriend. Like, I could just tell.
And you're always right.
I've always been right. I mean, wow. I think you can really tell, like, yeah, or at least can. I was like, this is going to be a thing. Like, I'm going to date this person.
Yeah, I can tell right away. And the worst is when you show up to a date and you know the second you sit down, this is not going to work out. Like, how do you get out of that?
Also, yeah, I was going to say it goes both ways. And you can tell right away if it's not good or bad. It's just tepid. And you're like, well, this was one date.
Yeah.
Most dates for me were always like, I'm not mad I went. I'm not going on a second date, but I had a good enough time.
Yeah, especially if you're a comedian. If anything, it could be a material or something that you can relate, you know, relay later down the line.
That is one thing. I love my boyfriend and he is so kind to let me use our fragile and intimate life as, you know, material all the time. And I'm always like, well, we've been together 4 years. Like, I can't stop. I'll tell stories about the guys I fucked before I met you anymore. Like,
well, yeah, because like, if you're not in it anymore, yeah, I'm the same way.
Well, but I was wondering what
really
kind
good
of
boyfriend. So usually the jokes are like, he's the exemplary. Usually the joke is like, he's a good boyfriend. He's considerate. He's good in bed, etc. And then in the story, I'm the piece of shit.
Yeah, self-deprecating.
Like, he's in
yeah.
it, but he's never like the punchline of it.
And are these stories that you tell as Trixie? Because I was wondering what the kind of material, like if it's like more of a branded, like fabricated material, or if it really is sourced from your real life.
I mean, I do like the voice and everything's heightened and I move different, but it's all my own, you know, relationships, my own life, my own friendships.
Okay. Has he ever gotten pissed about anything you've said on stage?
He doesn't love like certain things. Like let's say his family's really supportive. And whenever I go to Chicago, I usually play Park West and they'll come see my shows. And he'll be like, since my mom's here tonight, can you not tell this specific story about us having sex? And I'll be like, no, I'm going to tell it. Or I'll change it slightly and I'll say like, oh, some guy, but I'll still tell it. And he's like sweating bullets.
That's a big ass though. You like to, you know, people don't realize like what a big ass it is to like delete, you know, 5 minutes of material that are in your set.
Yeah. I mean, I usually am long winded, so I absolutely could, but thank you for giving me the benefit of the doubt. Thank you for giving me like, she's like, you can't do that. He lets me really talk about anything though. I think because he's seen me a million times and he understands that like, if you made it into the act, you made an impact in some way and it's all my point of view. So like, you know, everybody's the protagonist of their own story. So even if his story is me being a shithead, I'm probably going to tell it. Like Trixie Mattel's POV is always, she's kind of like a good person at like a B minus effort level.
Yeah.
So there's usually some visible cracks in the storytelling where the audience realizes that she's stretching the truth to make herself look good.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
So then it's like, okay, this isn't a credible source. Okay. But we'll listen to the story. You know, it's also not a
real
person.
Very beautifully relatable too, because I feel like people conflate their own sense of self in that way.
Totally. I mean, I think she represents in a lot of ways, it's a pretty unprepossessing person dressed up as the most beautiful person who ever lived. And so like, there's something relatable in that where we've all experienced blind confidence where like you get your hair done or you just look good that day, you lost a few pounds and you're like, I'm the most fucking beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And she kind of feels that all the time. Like I feel that all the time. I was on Drag Race in front of RuPaul. Like, I mean, you look good, but mama.
Yeah. And that's what you need, especially like in a room full of drag queens. And mentioning RuPaul's Drag Race, we heard the moment that you kind of knew drag was what you're supposed to do. Do you consider RuPaul's Drag Race your big break? Did you feel like you kind of broke before that? What was like the moment when you're like, this is something, this is, everyone's going to know my name?
Well, that was that first moment, right? Mm-hmm. I talked to you about. And then I remember like maybe a year later, I'm backstage, you know, at drag shows, it's a lot of completely naked trans women spray painting adhesive to their bodies, right? Mm-hmm. And this girl, Lady Gia from Milwaukee, she still performs. She goes, I gotta glue all this on. You gotta take the microphone. I'd never even held like a comedy, like talks. And I was like, oh, what do I do? And she was like, you have to go out there and stall. And I was like, oh my God. And I went out there and I just like kind of blacked out in the sense of like, I walked out there and hit that rhythm and I was just like doing it.
Rode the wave.
Backstage and she goes, you should do microphone stuff. That was really funny. And that was a big like, oh, sorry, let's wait.
Hold for siren.
Hollywood, there's literally a fucking siren every 10 minutes. So that was pretty huge. And then when I started making the choice to do blonde and pink like all the time, that was like, oh, like I really could kind of like, the audience really warms up to me when I'm kind of dressed as this 11 and a half inch fashion doll from their childhood. They really root for me immediately.
Yeah.
And then when I did Drag Race, obviously that was the first big, like, I mean, worldwide exposure kind of thing.
Yeah, that show's fucking, you know, huge.
And then little things after that, like, became such a thing. We're in season five of, or like, you know, doing music for the first time and not really knowing how it was going to work out. And, you know, those charting and doing well and being like a drag queen on Billboard charts for those albums was like kind of, I mean, Drag Race was huge, but being a charting drag like musician on in a wig was like, wow, I'm really doing something no one's done. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You've done a lot of things that nobody's done, and you're one of those people that is so talented and you very effortlessly explore all those sides of yourself. And it's just nice to see human beings do that. And
I just encourage everyone to like, just ask questions later.
Yeah. Just fucking get into it.
Don't ruminate on whether or not you can do it.
People ruminate.
I never thought about writing a book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
And we were New York Times bestselling author this year. And that was like a freeze frame moment. I was like, RuPaul hasn't even done that. Only one drag queen's done that, and it's Katya, the co-author. And now I have to kill her, and then I'll be, you know.
And then it'll just be you. It'll be the Trixie show. Yeah.
Yeah. What was it like writing with Katya?
Fun. We have very different processes, which is I write in advance and edit and turn it in early. And she, spins out the night before and like
That's how I write. We also wrote a book together. Yeah.
But we both spin out the night before and let's stay up all night.
I was on tour and I would like, you know, I like to be alone. And during on tour, like I'm on a bus with people and stuff. If I'm waking up, I'm off the bus. I'm hitting the beat until showtime. I got to go do something. I got to go Starbucks or something. And I would just take my computer and just like, just write things. And I write kind of slow because I think I edit as I go, which maybe isn't good, but I think most people puke and then edit, and I sort of, I puke a little and then go on, puke a little and go on.
Okay. Yeah. That's nice. Yeah. I feel like that's better for your nervous system almost, like staying up all night and then fucking up your sleep schedule for 10 years is.
Yeah. I quite liked it. And you know, there are some things in here where I'm like, I could have changed the name, but like, you know, I know my sister, she's not gonna read a book. You know what I mean? Like it's safe in there.
You didn't have to get legal permission. We had to get legal.
Yeah,
permission.
We had to have anyone we wrote about by using name. We had to send them the excerpt in an email and have them sign off on it.
Yeah, it was not honestly.
Didn't have to do that. Like at the part about my sister, I think I said that's my sister. I don't want to say her name, but I think I call her an embarrassment to my whole family. Which is just so extreme. It's for comedy. She might listen to podcasts. You. So Sam, I love you.
Yeah.
You know. Look at this person. Do you think that person is telling the truth? You know what I mean? Do you think that person's not stretching the details?
Right.
No, I think it would be, my heart goes out to comedians who really walk out there in a hoodie and jeans and they spill their guts because I need to be so bulletproof when I do it. You know, walking out in a comedy show, I'm usually the only drag queen at like a comedy festival, let's say. You know, I like just for laughs last year, I was like, there's like all these super A-list comedians and I'm a comedy nerd. I'm panicking. You know what I mean? I'm like trying to walk up to comedians and like not piss.
Luckily, being
a drag queen is such a good icebreaker because everyone's so nice to you. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm out of drag. I'm 6 foot tall, white with a shaved head, which isn't very 2020
for comedy. 6 foot tall, damn. Yeah.
Yeah. So then in drag, I'm like 6'7". So
I was going to say, in drag, you must
say you're towering.
Towering.
Yeah.
Damn.
So it's great for me because I really like to be, I mean, I'm kind of inappropriate and I'm not afraid to use satire and address some deep, dark stuff with I don't mean everything I say. And with Trixie being so obnoxious looking, it really helps me kind of have a license to kill. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
Who believes that? You believe that you think that that joke that came out of that thing is true or is earnest? Like, come on.
Hey, fuckers, did you like that interview?
I hope you did. If you want to hear the rest of our interview with RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars, Trixie Mattel, and a lot of more exclusive content, you're going to head over to luminarypodcasts.com where you can get a subscription for as little as $2.99 a month. See you there, fuck faces.
Oh.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.